Professional The Midwood Files.
On 11LRI, it's LF Midwood. With talk and lore.
My name is LF Midwood, and I need to drop that gain a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
I almost blew myself out. It's been about 6 months, boys and girls, I guess, since I've done anything. I was down at JL Studio in New York a couple weeks ago, and I got the crap pounded out of me. So, you know, they ganged up on me. I just got to say, it took two of them. Just keep that in mind. It took two of them. But, yeah, I finally got myself together here. I found my board, and I found my mics, and I found a whole bunch of other stuff. If you recall, I was, and you may not know this, I have a guest, Austin. Hi, Austin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What do you mean?
Oh, sorry about that.
There you go.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah. What I did was, when I first got here, I had my tablet, and it was the only thing that I could use because everything else was backed up. I mean, I would learn it because what we did was, and it was really my fault. When we packed the truck when we left New York, we put all the good stuff in front, right?
Right.
So when we took it off the truck, I should have made sure that stuff went to the side. But what happened was, is we just
everything
put it directly into
the
shed. Right. And it was, I mean, it was packed to the doors. So literally for me to even begin to find this stuff, I had to literally take stuff, like half of it out, move it onto the lawn.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was, you know, and we assumed we were going to be going into two rooms, a studio and a bedroom. So we only marked boxes studio, bedroom. We didn't mark actual contents because we figured it didn't matter. So yeah, it was tough.
It was a peekaboo.
Yeah, it really was. It was like it was like Tetris.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was honestly like Tetris, and then there was boxes that I hit the second time. It's like I already hit this box, and then I said to myself, "Well, I should mark them, so I know I already looked at that box." You know?
Right.
And I found everything. I even found my audio. I have a audio processing stack that I use, but it's not. It's mostly boxed, and I don't want to set it up here mainly because I don't. Feel obviously I don't think this is our final destination,
right?
You know, I think we'll be moving into another space one way or another, and I talked about that a few times on I think the last time I was on, and I was doing pretty good. You know what I wanted to do when I got the when I was using the tablet, and I was using it in here, and it had excellent the lighting. It was a 7S plus, so it was the 12.4.
okay.
And the camera on it, you know, usually tablet cameras are like this one has great. A pretty decent camera, yeah. And the lighting, the low lighting really worked, certainly better even than, this is a Brio. This is a real decent webcam, USB webcam. And I think the lighting was better on the tablet than it was on the Brio. And
wow,
that's an SL3, which I don't know if she's got it hooked up now. That's what we normally use when we do video, because I normally do.
Right.
I've been known to just do audio for a period of time, but normally this is a video endeavor. The only thing that makes it kind of hard with the video is that the only way for me to play music is to only have it on my website because of the DCMA.
Right.
I can't put it up, and I was using Rumble, and I was using YouTube for a while. I go on a lot. With their music, with the DCMA, they just strike it and you're gone. So I feel, I'm hearing something. Wah, bah, bah. See, I finally, I have the big robot dick out. This is what I call it.
Right.
In addition to the Donald J. Trump memorial mic. So with this thing, this pop filter is actually, there's supposed to be a screw in here. I actually have one of those twist ties from Bread.
Really?
Holding it. It's horrible. It's horrible. But and the stand is actually, there's an arm that goes with this. And it's supposed to be like the classic that you see. You know, I'm not going to say it's one up from the RE20. It's just a different sound than the RE20. Mm-hmm. And the RE20 is the classic FM mic that everybody uses, as well as the, the Shure SMB7, I think. I didn't want to go with the Shure. And I didn't want to go with the RE20 because I thought Jay was going to be a little upset when I said this. A little muddy. This is a little too much bass for me. I like the high end on this. I think it's a little bit more natural. And people said it had too much, but I like the way it works with my voice. So everybody's different, you know. And
right.
I think I told you earlier this afternoon, as a matter of fact, you see that shoelace? That's from a 1985 pair of Doc Martin shoes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just so you know.
So it's a little bit of history for this guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of history to all of it. Yeah. See, that's right. You know, we never really talked. We were pirates. John was on the air as a pirate, an FM pirate in Brooklyn. And you go on Saturday nights, and there were a couple other pirates. And unfortunately, there was a little animosity at times, which kind of screwed things up. What happened is in 1987, Alan Wiener, a gentleman by the name of Alan Wiener, finally got a... in 87 was the Sarah. We were the ship off the coast of Long Island.
Really?
AM, FM, long wave, short wave. Yeah, we're out for about 3 days. We had the ship out there. Most of the programming was pre-recorded. I was 17?
Okay.
Yeah, 54 now, so let's, you know, do the math. So that got busted, and they came and they took it apart. They literally destroyed it because that's in the mandate. And any equipment, illegal transmission equipment.
Must be destroyed.
There you go. So that's what they did, and there was a court date. And we showed up at the court date, and they dropped the charges. And we all just kind of went home. And there was nothing going on for a while. And then I would say within 6 months, the pirates were back. We just decided, hey, you know what I mean? So we went back on, and we went from, I guess, mid-87 to around mid-89. And then by mid-89, it's an interesting thing. The FCC never really had an enforcement branch. They could send you letters.
Or, like,
I mean, like cops. You know, like, right. Actual physical, you're under arrest. They didn't have that authority or power. What wound up happening in 89 is they were given the use of the U.S. Marshals, federal marshals.
Oh.
Right. So now people had their doors kicked in and... You know what I mean? And we used to think, well, they have to catch us red-handed, but no. It turns out, no. And to a certain degree, they had been monitoring for so long that they knew where stuff was. You know, they had triangulated, so they knew where the location was. So it was all over. A pirate radio in Brooklyn, as we knew it, was all over. My understanding now is there's a couple of ethnic stations. I think there's a Jamaican station, and I think there's something... Hebrew, believe it or not, coming out of like the Jewish area. There are more Jews in Brooklyn than there are in Israel. I don't know whether you know that or not.
Did not.
Yeah. So they got something running.
Okay.
And I guess they just leave them alone, you know? And I think they're running them as commercial enterprises, meaning they're Yeah, and we never did. I mean, you know, we would just request and free speech and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So what wound up happening after that was, I guess it was 89, like I said, I guess it had got up to like 90-ish, maybe a year after, maybe 2 years. Alan Weiner, the gentleman behind the ship, said that he was approached by WWCR, which was a shortwave radio station.
Okay.
And they wanted us on Sundays I think it was 3 hours. And the way it was working, there were a lot of us, so... we kind of had to give people an hour and, you know, that sort of break it down into that sort of thing to get maximum coverage. I didn't actually have my own show, but I was on pretty much everybody else's show.
Right.
And then what wound up happening with that was we stuck with them for a while. And when I say a while, I guess I mean a couple of years. There were a couple of local stations out in Long Island, which is part of New York, but not New York City. That were interested, so a couple of us were doing like weekend shows for them, which were interesting, and so that kind of went on for a while, and we went off of CR because we couldn't afford it,
right?
Because we were subletting the time, and it's expensive. You know, the transmitter, 100,000-watt transmitter,
it gets even more expensive as the years go on.
Absolutely. And we didn't get a whole lot from the listeners. People were listening, but they weren't sending stuff in. You know what I mean? So, and we got tired of asking because it gets to a point where you're just like, it becomes embarrassing for lack of a better word. So we just left it alone. We wound up going off of CR, and then I think another few years passed by. Nothing. You know, we all kept in touch with one another.
Yeah.
You know, John had become like a dad to me. So I mean, I was in touch with him. Randy Steele, started out as gay and then moved to transsexual and then actually had the operation, which was really interesting. Randy was a very interesting individual. Also, a motivating force behind all this, going back to the ship itself. I mean, in partnership with Alan, making it work and equipment and all that. She split off and did her own thing. She wound up with and I say she, out of respect for the pronoun,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't normally, I'm not that respectful of pronouns in that manner.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a dick. So Randy wound up in, of all places, Woodstock. And
really?
Yes, Woodstock, New York, yep. And what wound up happening was is that there was a station that became available, and it was going to be a public access thing. And they were doing things on points. So you had 3 or 4 different groups applying, and some of them had ethnic points, and some of them had various other pointage. It was almost like a 3-way tie, and Randy wasn't too thrilled with that idea, so she kept harping on it and kept working on it, and they finally gave her low-power FM in Woodstock just to shut her up.
Okay.
You know? So, and I believe that's still up there. I don't know what the call letters are, because it might have changed since Randy wound up passing... 6-7 years ago, somewhere in that range. But she had established a group up there, and they were doing their thing. Meanwhile, Alan Weiner was granted a shortwave radio station, the license. So you get the license, and then they give you the permit, and then you got to come up with the money to build the station.
Okay.
And Alan did. I mean, between a bunch of volunteers and a lot of old equipment and some new equipment, but mostly old equipment, they built the the planet. Wow, I can't remember the call letters. WBCQ.
Okay. Yeah.
And John's on BCQ every other week, live, for 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And part of what I'm doing, or what I'd always been, I had just gone off to the internet and done my own thing. I mean, I kept in touch with John. Right. I'm a member of John's network. I get his jingles, you know, the whole nine yards. But I had not been on Showwave probably since Gene and I were originally, we lived in Dallas, or right outside Dallas, for a while back. I guess that's got to be like 08, maybe? I guess that sounds about right. Yeah, because I think we had moved to Rhode Island in 08, so we were there. So we had done a lot of programming for our network, for 11L, R&I, on BCQ. And John wound up doing the whole thing at one point in time. And then we wound up doing fill-in for him, which was, you know, all right. I tell you the truth, I don't really get excited about shortwave. Right. You know, you ask 10 people if they ever heard of shortwave radio, and nine of them are going to be, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, the one guy might have a radio. You know what I mean? He might. And it's just not much left. I mean, I don't want to be critical, but I'm going to be. A lot of religious broadcasting. As a matter of fact, BCQ gets a fair amount of its income from contracts to religious broadcasters. And what Alan does with the money is he underwrites a lot of, like, the programming like John does and a lot of other interesting musical stuff. Because at the end of the day, it's AM.
Right.
It's maybe if you're, you know, depending upon what conditions are, it's not as great as AM. But their head engineer up there, Tim Tron, really tweaked those transmitters for AM. So music actually sounds pretty good. And there's a lot of music shows and there's a lot of talk shows and, you know, it's basically people buy hours, so it's amateur.
So it's more like, so it's becoming more like a niche kind of workspace now.
Yeah, I would say. I know the technology.
It's not dead.
No.
But it's not enough to where it's thriving.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't been, you know, the only way it thrives is, again, to people who, religious broadcasters who were buying time on stations, block time. But a lot of those religious broadcasters wind up making enough money where they wind up literally having satellites, you know, and they're moving their audio around that way.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily, you know, that thrilled with shortwave. But it served its purpose. There's guys that have died that are, their tapes are still played on shortwave.
Yeah.
Brother Stair is still being played. I can't think of the other guy. Was it Scott? Was it Gene Scott with the hat and the cigar? We used to watch him on satellite in the 80s. Yeah, just a little bit before your time. But yeah, he was, again, one of the religious broadcasters. You know? So it's still, there's still stuff there, you know, but it's, you know, BCQ is probably, I'm not going to hate to say, maybe I should for the rest of the shortwave bands. BCQ has probably got the most interesting programming running at this point in time, which is, you know, which is a good thing. All about free speech for the most part. And like I said, anybody can buy an hour. I don't even know what rates are. You know, they say to get in touch. I know what rates used to be, and it doesn't make sense for me to talk about those now. John's underwritten because he's basically keeping R&I alive. That was the ship, Radio New York International.
Right.
And what it was is Alan had gone to England and had gotten friendly with the Radio North Sea guys, those pirates, and, you know, Radio Caroline that go back to the 60s. He'd gotten friendly with them. So Radio New York International is a play on Radio North Sea International. So it's like an homage to it, which is really, really cool. It just keeps sticking. I've come and gone over the years. I mean, I go back, obviously, since I'm 17 with these guys. John and I have had difference of opinion at times, and we've taken years off from each other's company. We have 8 years in a string going right now without a problem.
Really?
So we're really kind of happy about that. we were talking about that when I was down there at the studio at the house. That's the history of, you know, where this all comes from. You know, I was sitting at my house in Brooklyn, 17 years old, 16 actually, and I turned a little bit. There was a rock station at the end of 92.3. and I turned accidentally a little bit that way, and I heard a station, a pirate station called WMAD, which is run by a good friend of mine, Alan Sane, and his brother Jack Hammer.
Okay.
So I got friendly with them, and then they told me, "Hey, hang out to midnight in JPL, which was John Paul Lightning is his initials. John Paul Lightning, you know, JPL will be on." So I'm like, "Oh, all right." So I check it out, and it blew my mind. I mean, really, literally, right. Really blew my mind.
Your introduction to, like, broadcasting.
Yeah. So what I did was is I went down to Allen Sands. I went down to MAD a couple of times, and I used to call in to JPL regularly. And this is where my name comes from. This is, you know, most of my listeners know this at this point in time. LF Midwood is a lead from Midwood, because I lived in the Midwood section of Brooklyn. So when they asked who I was, when I called in the first time, "Oh, my name's Lee." And they say, "Where are you from?" "Midwood." "It's Lee from Midwood," right? So when I finally got the opportunity to go down to John's studio, what wound up happening is I wound up sticking, is what it comes down to. Yeah, John's always saw potential in me that I myself have never really seen. But I guess that's what, you know, people who are in a parental kind of situation,
right?
Do you know they want to see the best in their quote unquote child?
Yeah.
So John, you know, and I hung out and I stayed, and I'm basically still here, I guess, really, as you put that. But so that's where LF Midwood comes from. It's not my real name,
right?
Yeah, I know we're Facebook friends, and it says LF Midwood. I do not have a Facebook under my real name.
Oh, I don't blame you. I would not blame you on that.
Yeah, it's, well, the vast majority of people who would be on Facebook would know me as LF Midwood. I mean, even I lost contact with friends from when I was a teenager who have looked and they said, "Oh, let me check LF." And, you know what I mean? Because it's been since I'm 17. So, you know. But it is an alias, I suppose. I mean, we just keep going. I mean, I was down there, like I said, it was myself in the studio, John, and Dave the Boogeyman, don't ask. those are actually really good power pop shows. He's really into power pop, that genre, and he goes to festivals and whatnot. He's really taken his show is R&I. He IDs as Radio New York International.
Okay,
and he's on the weeks that John isn't, but he's not on Joy. He's just internet only.
Gotcha.
But he's built a pretty good reputation for himself. He's made a lot of friends. Good. He comes to Dallas. There's a big power pop festival. He comes to Dallas. He's been in other parts of the country. He's well-respected within the community. And not for nothing, he's done a real good job of representing us. So,
that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, you got to hear to believe. I mean, I really don't even know how to describe the guy. There's only one John Lightning. I was having that conversation with a friend of mine recently. So we hooked up again, I guess, in 08 when we moved from Dallas to Providence. I was there a couple years, and I called John, and I said, I felt it was real funny. I was listening to Spotify. I was on my porch smoking a cigar, listening to Spotify, and I'm saying to myself, man, I miss playing music, you know, for, quote unquote, an audience. Because you never know what the deal is with an audience, right? And so I called him, and we patched things up, and he was actually at the point where he needed to migrate. We had bought a full metal server, before I had left for Texas, and it was a little long in the tooth, so they were pulling it. So we had to kind of move everything, archives and all nine yards, and we wound up moving it to a VPS. And I hate VPSs because you don't get the full use of the box. You're sharing it, obviously. You're basically a program on a bigger box, you know, or in a bigger OS. But we moved, and that's basically what I was doing when I was down here, because we moved, and IBM wound up buying the data center, which was incidentally also called the Planet. In Dallas, yes, and they were scooped up by IBM, and they gave us notice that they were pulling they were just going to pull it. And what they did was they told us one date, but they pulled it like a month early. So we didn't really have the opportunity to get everything off, but we had backups, and that's basically why I was over at John's on this trip, was to get the file server up. because we had put the archives back together again. Apparently, you'll appreciate this. Apparently, I had downloaded the vast majority of the archives while I was stoned. Didn't realize it. And John found them on his website because I put them down to his website. And he was like, did you know the archives are up there? And I'm like, no, I have no recollection. I was the only person who could have done it. I mean, there's no one or anything else. You know, I basically am still the webmaster for all of this. Gina and I, actually. She does a whole lot. So I set it up out of his house. He got a business account, so he's got a static IP. So we're just running it out of a basic little box on his house, and it should last a while. But that was my trip to New York. Because I had been down there to February before.
Okay.
It used to be a lot easier when I was in Providence, you know. Because it was like 3 hours away, and a half hours away. You know, it's like a trip to Dallas. Now it's a flight. Now it's a plane thing. And I hate traveling. I don't travel well. I'm fully medicated. My audience might be interested in knowing this because I get inquiries about my health. I'm fully medicated again. I'm back up on my full cocktail, and I feel pretty good. Just so everyone knows that I'm reasonably motivated, so I'm going to try and stick to Wednesdays. Maybe this time slot, maybe earlier, maybe later. We'll see how it goes. The vast majority of people wind up downloading the file from my website.
Right.
Live listeners, I have one live listener right now, but nobody knew I was going to be on either. So, because I didn't even call John. John usually promos me and say,
oh, cool. You know,
yeah.
Good to have some kind of a promotion.
Oh, yeah. And that's where we're at now. Like I said, I guess I'm here 9 months. 9-10 months. The one sad thing that did occur, and this kind of, like I said, I was working with the tablet, and this kind of stopped me dead, literally, was once Batsy died. Listeners were familiar with my cat, because he would be on the video with me. Spatsy died. It was some sort of kidney issue. I don't think there's anything we could have done. He passed away in my arms, and, you know, I buried him. And you get on, but I had him for 14 years. And let me tell you something, really lucky to have him for 14 years. I really feel blessed to have had the cat. So, I mean, you know. Yeah, it's like a family member. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I'm trying to think of anything else that I might want to catch people up with. So, I mean, we could talk about, you know, you're a native. You've been here your whole life.
Yeah, even though I've been here, still not used to the heat.
I tell you the truth. I didn't really notice it. Like, we arrived, I guess it was like mid-August of last year.
Yeah.
And it was still pretty hot. And I didn't really, I guess maybe it was all the adrenaline, and I didn't really notice it too much. It was hot in the 90s. Today it was almost, I think, 96 here, I think.
I think every year it ranges from 80s, 90s, sometimes in the hundreds. Mm. Every now and then we'll get those long stretches of just weeks of 100-degree weather.
Yeah, it's like I said, I was in Dallas for 4.5 years, right outside Dallas in Garland. Mm-hmm. So I know about that. But I also know about not going outside and staying in the air conditioning. And I also know about my skin drying up, which is really annoying to me.
Right.
So you lose one layer, no, you lose. The winter was interesting. I mean, you've had like more.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, we've been getting a lot more snow.
Yeah.
Which is not, it's a rare occurrence.
Mm. It used to be.
Definitely.
Now it's, I mean, it didn't snow last winter, but I think the one or two before that, you had that real bad freeze.
The weak freeze, yes.
Yeah.
It destroyed a lot of businesses.
Yeah,
so it did a lot of damage to a lot of places.
A lot of homes, because a lot of homes, for the most part, to my understanding, most homes in Texas aren't built for real winter because you never really have real winter. So I think there are a lot of pipe damage and a lot of the plumbers would do
a lot
really
of families bad. Down here, they aren't really prepared for it. So like they don't know to drip the faucets.
Yeah. And that's been more often. So, you know, they talk about that global warming and it kind of makes me wonder.
Right.
But, that's, you know, I never used to like winter,
the heat is so unbearable sometimes. I do prefer that over the winter.
Yeah. And you don't really have a fall.
Yeah.
It's really kind of disappointing because that was my favorite.
Maybe spring.
Yeah.
And then winter.
Yeah, pretty much straight in, and the trees don't know what to do, and it's, yeah, it's been, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm going to hit a musical set, and we're going to come back right after I do. And there it is.
Latvian music!
Radio New York International.
Here's the first and last word. We'll be right back.
guess her mama was right. Cause when the clock strikes midnight, gonna ride the lightning, feel the thunder, till the darkness pulls me under. Gonna fly on wings of fire, pray the good Lord lifts me higher. Singing oh, when they call me home. Singing oh, when they call me home. Gonna ride the lightning. There's a man in a black coat standing at a crossroad. Man in his hand in a long list of lost souls. They say he flips a coin for his hand of fool's gold. There's a man in a black coat standing at a crossroads. I hope he lets me pass by.
just music is yours. It's talk radio with balls and fragments too.
R and I, we're your real free speech difference.
See, this is what happens when you leave that little gap of silence, because it hit it. It did go silent, right?
That's all start right there.
Yeah, I blew the cue, as they say, and which is really sad because most people know that I pre-edit just because it's easier to be able to hit the set, and rather than, and most of the guys I know who still do this, they work. I mean, individual cut, jingle, individual cut. I mean, they're literally, you know, doing the segues as they go. I can't. And sometimes I get high when I'm high. Nah. not going to work. It's really funny. When I was, 18 and 88 is when I was doing shows on JPL. I used to get high before the shows, and I was just blowing cues, like, left and right. John had, he didn't have, this was even before 1200s. Before he had them anyway. So you'd be on the turntable and you'd be queuing. And it's the, if you go just a little too far over, the arm would reset itself. Okay. So it would go back to where it started from. My most notorious thing is, are you familiar with the song Don't Fear the Reaper?
Yes.
You know how there's that little break in the middle?
Yeah.
I segued out of it. Clean. Beautiful segue. Unfortunately, I didn't play the other half of the song. yeah. yeah, hilarious. So I blew a cue there, folks. Hey, come on, man. It's been 6 months. I was editing on my laptop. I'm sitting there. It's, you know, I usually edit on my desktop, but it's, as you can, my monitor is on the dresser, and the screen's here, and I'd have to sit on the bed, and it's just not working. I could probably edit in here, but I don't really like using her machine. They don't call them personal computers for nothing. I used to broadcast stuff, and that's it, because if I were to actually start to poke around, and I would be upset. So I leave Gina her thing. Like I was telling you the other day, I got to figure out what's going on. There's 16 gig of memory that disappeared off this machine.
Oh.
Yeah. Let me do a little back announcing. I actually opened, I got so excited, I had a guest, I didn't even mention it. Sweet Amarillo, Old Troll Medicine Show from their Remedy album. Excellent song. Really reminds me of like Dylan or the Byrds. It's really got that, you know, kind of Sweetheart of the Rodeo feel to it.
Yeah.
You know? And the set that we just played was Headed for the Border, Flamin' Groovies, from their Flamingo album. I think that's 69. I don't always put the years down. Ride the Lightning by Warren Zeders. I never get that. Z-E-I-D-E-R-S.
Zeders?
Yeah. Ride the Light from the Ride the Lightning album. When I think Ride the Lightning, I think Metallica. You know,
right.
First four albums. But
anyway. Sounds like a Metallica song.
Yeah. And Desperado, which was Eagles' cover, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. I'm sure most of my audience is familiar with them because I play them all the time. From their Love Their Country album. Get the pun there. So, that's what we played. I used to argue with John about whether I should back announce or not, you know, because I feel kind of like I'm doing something and I'm moving, and this is really all stream of consciousness. You can see I don't work with notes. Even if I have a news story, I have the raw story. I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes it's better to get that right on the top.
Exactly. You know, I was kind of envious. I even said to Gina when I walked in, because you're doing what I used to do for John, which was just walking cold. You know what I mean? And just being able to bounce, right? You know what I mean? And I realized when I came back, it was on the porch, and I came back in, and I'm like, man, I'm getting old. You know, I'm now sitting in quote unquote the chair, and I have other people doing that for me, that which I used to do. And
it's another experience.
It's a lot easier doing what you do than what I do.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot easier doing what I do than what John does. So,
you're in the hot seat now. I'm in the cold seat.
Yeah. It all pivots, you know, but my audience, like I said, is pretty much just used to me. And I didn't envision this anything more than I'm back kind of deal.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was no... That's why I'm not too concerned. I did want to mention, 30 minutes left, Julian Assange is being released. I believe he cut a deal. I'm not going to look it up because I've read a couple of stories on it. Granted, I am on statins, but I do kind of... Yes, I'm getting off the statins, hopefully. Thank you. Shh, quiet. I believe they cut a deal where he doesn't have to do time. He's going to the Marietta Islands, which I believe are a U.S. Protectorate or U.S. Property. and he's going to plead guilty, I believe, and he's going to get time served. And I think he's pleading guilty to some sort of conspiracy charge in regards to the information that was given to him. I think this is the, I don't know whether it's the, I think it would have to be the Snowden case, because I think was the bigger case, bigger than Chelsea Manning. I don't even remember Chelsea's name when Chelsea was a guy. I don't know what's going on anymore with the pronouns. I get confused. but I'm glad, because he was like 7 years in the Peruvian embassy.
Okay.
Couldn't leave because he would have been arrested. And then I believe they moved him to the English embassy. He moved to England, and then from there, in prison, they actually went in and arrested him.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a cat, which was pretty cool the whole time. And he was looking at some serious time. And I don't know, there are rape charges out of Sweden from like 25, 30 years ago. I'm not even know if they're pursuing that. So it looks like he'll be free. And as, again, most of my audience knows, I think WikiLeaks, I consider them to be legitimate journalists. I consider the fact that they're allowing information that wouldn't ordinarily be available to the U.S., you know, anywhere really, because there's like a lot of different wikis. They're important, and they serve a purpose, and not for nothing. I don't think Assange did anything wrong. I question Snowden, and I question Manning. Because if you've taken some sort of oath to the government,
right,
and you break it, you know, I think a lot of it was about us, and when I say us, the American people, being shocked that there were other people unfortunately killed in the process of killing terrorists. Not for nothing, Bill Clinton had two opportunities when he was president to get bin Laden, and he were too many people around, he felt. So he didn't do it. And that was documented in George Tenet's book, who used to be head of the CIA, Greek guy, diners in Brooklyn. Love diners. So Assange is free. Assange will be free. He's on, and it's really good because I think if he had stayed in the conditions that apparently he was under, he would have passed away at some point in time.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, they weren't really taking care of him. America probably has the best prisons, with the possible exception of Louisiana. Not sure. Louisiana is supposed to be pretty bad.
Texas and Louisiana.
Texas is not so great. Yeah, yeah, but, you know, yeah. To my understanding. I was in New York. You know, I had a federal case. I was held by the Fed in New York. So, and it was a brand new prison. It literally was. I wound up at the end of the day, they were building one next to an old one in Brooklyn. So they had me in the old one, and then they moved me into the new one, and it literally had new prison smell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. My audience knows all about that. Like I said, my archives are all up there. What are we looking at? We're looking at, how long is this out? Well, we got about 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. You know, again, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on here.
Yep, and as I said, you know, off mic, you're always welcome. You know, whenever you want to, just let me know.
Yeah, that's some good experience into a field that I'm interested in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I tried to keep things tighter than they were tonight. Like I said, I can't believe I blew that post. And like I said, it's pre-recorded. I was in such a hurry to get the set. There's actually a second set that's not being used. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, we were just talking about that earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah, I always have. John always taught me backup set. So I was in such a hurry to work on the backup set that I just that tiny little gap. And I psyched myself out. Yeah. I've done real bad things. You learn. I mean, there's really no other way, but you gotta get used to your equipment. You gotta know what's going on. That moto, I usually don't use that moto. I'm only using it because I couldn't find, this is really funny, the sound card on the back of the machine, the 3.5 mini cable that I bought, it won't. Because of the casing, it won't fit in. It didn't fit in.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, how do I know if I order another one whether it's going to fit or not? And I know the one I have is in the box, but I can't find it right
now.
So what I normally do is this has a USB out and in on it. So, but it's one or the other.
So you just use a USB.
So I use the UPS out, right, and the output from that feeds back in because it all has to loop back around.
Right.
Because my players are here and my encoders are here. So the audio starts here, goes here. That pot and then the output of the board, and this picks up the output of the board, and that's actually encoding the audio.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I couldn't find a cable. I couldn't find one that fit. So right. I have the Moto. I bought two of these. I don't even remember one. Again, it was very high the last 2 years in Providence. they're cheaper now than I bought them for, which kind of ticks me off. But I actually bought one, and it wasn't. There was a problem with it, and I sent it back. And I wound up getting two more, and I wound up using one just as a headphone amp out of my phone.
Right.
Because my buyers are 80 ohm, so they need a little bit more juice than a regular out of a phone would give me. And I like to listen. No, I use my phone, obviously. Right. So I was working on this yesterday, and it was, it's been, you know, and I'm like, I haven't used it in a long ass time, and I got to feed out, and everything's going through there. And then I read something, this is really wild. I read something like last night, and I didn't think about it, but I read it last night, and I'm like, I'm not getting what I want out of it. I'm only getting one channel, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And then I read something about there's multiples, and there's a loopback literally on the box itself. So I set it for loopback, boom.
Got everything access.
Everything.
All it takes is...
I wish I could have done that last night. I would have felt so much better last night because I knew. That's why I said, you know, at 10 o'clock, I got in here and at 9:15. I had 45 minutes to, like, get rid of the crinkling noises and make it all work because sometimes you get that, you know, there's crinkles and I'm like, what the hell is going on? I don't know. But, so it was a new piece of equipment. And I'm probably going to leave it in line until I find that cable because I do like using the output. It's a digital output from the board. You know, it's evolved. It evolved the first time. Tearing it apart in Providence took a long time because it was all so organic.
Right.
Because you add something and, you know, you leave it and then you add another thing and then...
You slowly upgrade.
Yeah.
Remove. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Replace.
Right. Right, and the idea, like I said, taking it apart, because we were literally streaming and or she was working until, like, literally 2 days before we left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's the last thing I took apart was this.
Oh, of course. That would have to be.
And this thing annoying me. See, I usually run a green screen with my website behind me.
Okay.
But this is, she's been, and it's annoying. So, whatever. all right. I think yeah, I got 4 minutes. I'm trying to look at things here. I got the time exactly to an hour. I don't know. Like I said, there's a possibility this may be heard on WBCQ The Planet. There's a possibility it may not. I think that's the idea going forward is we're giving John or providing John with some programming that he can drop in.
Right.
For one of those hours, one of those 3 hours that he's doing because you
like
know,
a slot filler.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he really works hard on his stuff. So I mean,
yeah,
you know, if he could get a little break, it would be a good thing. So that was the idea, and it's good because it puts me on the idea of well, now I need to do something weekly just in case he wants it. So which is good because I kind of needed that little push. Otherwise, I think I would have maybe procrastinated.
And it also gives you more content for your website as well.
As well, there you go. It's all so about content. That, see, there you go, right off the bat. You don't have new content.
Fresh.
People come back, they'll see it. People come back a second time, they'll see it. They come back,
it's all
that's
about
it.
Pushing
they're gone.
Forward on the content.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All of this is a frame for the content.
Yeah.
All the website and all that. Yeah, you got to have fresh content, otherwise people aren't going to come back. You're absolutely
exactly.
100% right. See, 28, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so does that make you a Z?
I'm on the, like, the tail end of millennials and Gen Z.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So that's also a perspective that I was interested in having, obviously, being Gen X, you know. But yeah, okay, we're going to get out of here. I got one more tune, and I'm not going to be able to back announce, so I'm going to tell you what it is as soon as I pop this up. Dead Flowers. It's, Killers version, Jerry Lee Lewis.
I like the Killers.
Right. With Mick Jagger singing in the background. And it's originally their song, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. It was either going to be this one or it was going to be New Riders of the Purple Sage. I like their version.
Right on.
From Home on My Road. But the Jerry Lee Lewis one out. So we're going to play Jerry Lee Lewis. And I don't know if I'm using my normal album or not. I just grabbed what was lying around. In any case, I'll be back next week. Again, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And no problem. And again, however you imbibe the program, whether it be live or whether it be after the fact, downloading it, I certainly appreciate it. As I say all the time, I never take it for granted. It's a lot of media out there. There's a lot of stuff you could be listening to. I appreciate that people take the time and listen to my show. So that being said, let me hit this, and we'll be out. Bye, y'all.
Say tasteless and offensive, gotta get going, run your vibe for now.